A caption says, South Africa, 1968. 20 million blacks are ruled by a minority of 4 million whites under the brutal apartheid regime. Blacks have no votes, no land rights, no freedom of movement or equitable opportunity to housing, employment or education. Determined to retain power, the government bans all opposition organizations, forcing their leaders into exile or imprisoning them, some for life, on Robben Island. Starring Joseph Fiennes as James Gregory and Dennis Haysbert as Nelson Mandela, British Sky Broadcasting presents Goodbye Bafana, audio described by Tony Cook on behalf of the MCS agency. At a quayside, armed prison guards look on as a supply boat is loaded with furniture. A line of manacled black men are also being manhandled onto the vessel. One is being whipped.
You men, make sure that's tied down properly, you hear me?
A prison sergeant holding a fishing rod.
Careful, mate.
Oh, why is it taking so long?
Go back to your mother.
Move your feet, come on!
I said go back.
A young boy runs back into a warehouse office.
Sergeant Gregory. Carly Bosman, your skipper for the crossing. Your first time to Robben Island?
Yeah, the fishing's excellent.
Get bored with that soon enough. What prison are you from?
Kroonstadt, maximum security.
Well, Robben Island is a totally different ballgame.
All prisoners below deck and secure, Captain.
Ladies and children, all aboard, please.
Now a line of women and children leave the office to board. The sergeant steps towards the office.
Where's your mom?
Is he putting on her lipstick?
You can board now, sweetie.
Mm. How do I look?
You look great.
As long as I don't get seasick.
It's only an hour.
Will I be able to get my own bedroom, Pa?
Of course you will.
Can I share with Natasha?
You said I want to share with you.
You two stop fighting and behave yourselves. Remember, first impressions are everything.
Next, an aerial view of an oval-shaped island less than a mile wide, set in the sparkling South Atlantic, about 5 miles off the rocky coastline of Cape Town. Table Mountain rises in the distance towards a hazy blue sky. On the boat...
Are all the prisoners on the island black, huh?
All of them.
But of course that they're white.
Yeah, we don't mix whites and blacks, not even in the prisons.
These are not just criminals, but these are terrorists.
Well, what's the difference?
Terrorists are terrible people. They want to kill all the whites and take our land away from us.
Which is why we locked them up on the island.
Armed guards with dogs supervise the unloading of the supply boat.
Sergeant Gregory. Captain DeVette, I'm the personnel officer on the island.
How did you do, Captain? I'm Gloria and...
I have a jeep standing by. This way. Your furniture will follow.
The captain leads Sergeant James Gregory, his wife, daughter and son to an open-top Land Rover parked on the island's jetty. The boy clambers into the back, followed by his younger sister clutching a doll. James helps his wife Gloria into the back and then joins her on a bench seat. The Land Rover drives under an archway with a welcome sign in English and Afrikaans. Two uniformed guards salute. They drive on, inside a compound, along a tree-lined track into a residential area. A mother and child sit in the sunshine on a garden swing. Gloria smiles as James gives her a warm hug. They stop outside a whitewashed bungalow. A caption says, June 1968. James helps his family down. The captain turns to him.
You can stand down for today, Sergeant. This evening you're expected to attend an officer's bride at OC's residence. Mrs. included. Full dress uniform.
James salutes as the captain drives off. Later, in the bungalow, he rummages through a suitcase.
Gloria, I can't find my step parts.
Ma's visiting next door, Pa. Why the toilet outside, Pa?
These houses are old, but they're built during the war.
What war?
Second World War.
What happens if I need to go at night?
Then you'll go.
But there are bad people out there.
Boy, the only bad people on this island are locked up in jail, okay?
Okay, Pa.
James, are you decent?
Yeah,
use all the boxes, but you know how it is. This is my husband, James.
How do you do?
How do you do? Sonny's kindly offered to babysit for us.
Oh, that's very nice.
Oh, Sonny's husband is a chef here.
Also, if you ever need anything, eggs, flour, sugar, you know to ask. Just don't say where it came from.
I can't find my step-outs.
Another bit, I polished them.
And you, James, what's your posting?
Oh, he doesn't know yet. We'll probably find out this evening, huh?
You must be something special. The NCOs are never invited to the colonel's house. Not unless they're in deep trouble.
Serious?
Oh, don't mix. Officers here are all bloody snobs. I've got dinner on the stove. Give me a shout when you're ready to go, Gloria.
All right. Thanks, Sonny.
Well, I'm starting to get a bit nervous now.
You get in with the officers and they'll nominate you for a commission.
You have to be a warrant officer first, Gloria.
This is not Worcester, James. This is not Kroonstadt. This is Robben Island, the number one prison in the country. You play your cards right, and who knows, in 5 years you could be at head office in Pretoria.
Ach, dream on.
I think I'm going to give you a quick little haircut before we go.
Christ, woman, you never stop.
Never.
That evening.
You don't have to wait to go to the mainland. I'm a fully qualified hairdresser. Really? And I'm good. Highlight is what you need. A bit of flair, then you'll see the heads turning.
Well, are we going to keep you busy or what?
This is no holiday camp, Sergeant. You've got water stuck out here for 2 weeks at a time. It's a recipe for alcohol abuse, for prostitution.
Prostitution?
We've got married NCOs pimping their wives out to single warders, supplementing their shitty salaries.
I hope Captain DeVette is not painting too bad a picture of us. Welcome to the island, Gregory.
It's an honor to be here, sir.
I see our wives are already making friends.
Thank you for inviting us, sir.
There's someone who wants to meet you. Excuse us, Captain. This is Major Pete Jordan from the Bureau of State Security.
The CO leaves the two men together on the lawn.
I believe you speak the Kaffir languages, Sergeant.
I speak Xhosa, sir.
Where'd you learn the language?
I grew up on a cattle farm in the Transkei. When you've got no brothers to play with, you end up playing with the Kaffirs, sir.
Shall we take a walk, Sergeant? So, what do you think of the judgment handed down in Mandela's trial?
In my opinion, he should have got the rope, sir.
Oh, then we could have turned him into a martyr. Perhaps he's more used to us behind bars.
That's a waste of taxpayers' money, is what I say. They all are.
All blacks?
Certainly the ones who took up arms against us, the communists.
Mandela denies he's a communist.
Well, they're all liars, aren't they?
You know, in the 1800s, this whole island was a leper colony.
Nothing's really changed then.
Jordan studies James's face.
How do you feel about heading up the censorship office in B section?
Excuse my ignorance, sir, but what is B section?
That's where we keep Mandela and all his mates. I need someone on the inside, someone who speaks their language. I want to know what they think, how they think, anything you find odd in their letters or their visits, you report directly back to me. I want you to be my window into their soul, if they have a soul.
Yeah, Lenir, I was thinking I was going to spend my first year working bloody night shifts.
You can if you want.
No, please, no, sir. It would be an honor for me to run the censorship office. I won't let you down.
You let me down, you let your country down.
I would never do such a thing.
Of course not. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm bloody starving. Let's go and get something to eat.
Later, as Gloria and James get ready for bed.
Can you sleep?
Finally. Too much bloody excitement.
The colonel's wife, Joyce, is coming over tomorrow for a cup. She bakes, so she'll pay with a cake. And Hetty, you know that nice captain's wife? Her husband dies for crayfish, so that's how she'll pay. And that woman with the gray hair.
Gloria.
What?
They're putting me with Mandela and Sisulu and them.
No!
They want me in charge of the censorship office.
Oh, my God, James, why didn't you say something?
I wasn't going to blow my trumpet in front of all those bloody officers.
Oh, this is big, my boy. Mandela.
Never mind that. I'll report directly to Pretoria.
This is fantastic. Did they say anything about a promotion?
In due course, I was told. No more disciplined order for me. From now on, I'm in charge of the worst terrorist this country's ever seen. Do you know how many bridges he's blown up? Do you know how many police stations he and his encounter with Sizwe have bombed?
Didn't they say this was going to be Island in the Sun? Didn't I say that, James?
You sure that, Buggy?
They kiss on the bed in their underclothes. Next day, James rides on his bike to the prison holding a flask. Prisoners sit in an exercise yard breaking rocks. A guard stands on a gantry with a rifle.
Put your backs into it, you lazy cappers!
A guard holding a whip orders the prisoners to their feet as James walks into the yard. One prisoner is a bit slow.
Stand up, you slack bastard! 3 days half rations for insubordination. Attention!
James paces and addresses the prisoners.
I'm your new censorship officer. If you want to post a letter, you do it through me. One letter every 6 months. No longer than 500 words. No reference to other prisoners. No mention of prison conditions. And no bloody politics. If you fail to adhere to these regulations, your letters will not be posted. If you receive a letter, it comes through me. Same story, one every 6 months. Any mention of politics, and that letter will be censored. Is that clear?
You fuck with me, and I'll make your life a lot more miserable than it already is.
And I'll enjoy doing so.
Which one is Mandela?
He's in solitary. 5 days for talking in the passage.
Right! Back to work! Let's see you breaking some rocks!
Last one on the right. It's nice and damp in there.
James peeps into Mandela's cell. Mandela stands with his back to him.
Hey, you! I'm talking to you, man. Look at me.
Mandela remains with his back to the cell door, facing a window of bars.
I'll see you, Mandela.
James strides back along the corridor and up steps to the exit. A caption says, 6 months later, James marches to the jetty to greet a smartly dressed black woman in a striped turban who steps from a boat. Armed guards look on.
This is Mandela, Sergeant Gregory. I'll be monitoring your visit.
How do you do, Sergeant?
Follow me.
He ignores her extended hand and paces away.
Forster, let's go prisoner 466-64-23. Yeah, please.
She sits in a booth. He hands her a phone.
You speak only in English. And only about family matters.
He listens on an extension as Mandela, in chains, is led in at the other side.
Prisoner ready?
A screen is slid back and Mandela faces his wife holding a phone.
You have 30 minutes. Starting now.
They can't sleep at night. Terrified the security will come and bash down our door.
That is political, Mrs. Mandela.
It is not. It is about our family. There is too much harassment. From all sides, all the time. It is upsetting the girls. George Bezos suggests we send them to a boarding school in Swaziland. They'll come home on holidays.
Will you cop being alone?
When I married you, I knew I was marrying the struggle.
Have you heard from Evelyn?
She has a job at the mines.
Typing? Tim came to
visit.
How is my son?
He's a man now.
He has his driver's license and his own car.
Tell him I'm allowed another visit in 6 months' time. He has to put in an application.
I will tell him.
Banjani Abishobo Beatu Elusaka.
Only for a newly
ANC.
English only.
Ayelo Oliver Hukuba. Sefe Melele Akinise. Nomkando Wesizwe. Bantu Benze. Elelizwe. Lingalawan.
That's it. Fortunately, this visit is terminated. This way, please.
No, please. We were talking about family matters.
Do you think I'm stupid?
Fortunately, let's call the prisoner back to his cell. Follow me.
On your feet, Mandela. Move!
In his chains, Mandela slowly gets to his feet. James escorts Winnie Mandela back along the jetty to the waiting boat. Major Jordan watches her board and beckons James.
Gregory.
James salutes the major, who's in plain clothes and wearing shades.
I was quick.
They started talking in Hausa.
About what?
Mandela told her to instruct Oliver Tambo to escalate the armed struggle.
Said they must make the country ungovernable.
Anything else?
Family stuff. Kids going off to boarding school, that sort of thing.
When Winnie gets back to Joburg, she's going to be detained indefinitely. It's going to be front page news. I'll send you a clipping. Make sure Mandela gets it.
No problem. Oh, one small thing.
She mentioned his son Tembi, the one from his first marriage. He's got his driver's license. See if he has his own car.
He probably stole the bloody thing.
Right.
Next, James rides his bike home. On the terrace, Gloria is giving the CEO's wife, Joyce, and two others a hairdo.
Hello, sweetie.
Ladies.
How's your day?
Good. Where are the kids?
Switch on the kettle, won't you? Make us all a nice cup of tea.
What do you think, James?
About what?
Oh, hey.
Oh, it's nice.
Nice? Please, it's stunning. Wait till Jan sees it. You're in for a busy night, my girl.
I believe Mama Africa paid us a visit today, James.
The girls seem to know everything.
Nothing happens on this island without me finding out about it. Usually before it happens.
So what's she like?
Ach, she was only there 5 minutes. They started talking Khoza, so I sent her packing.
James speaks fluent Khoza.
Really?
He grew up with them on a farm. He had a friend called, what was his name?
Ach, man, who cares?
No, man, tell us.
No, please tell us, James.
Ufana.
James has got a photo of the two of them. I'll get it.
Gloria, no. Gloria.
No, I want to see
me
it.
Too.
Didn't know you were a farm boy, James.
I'm not a farm boy.
It is?
Look. Oh, cute. Look at the little gaffer lover.
I'm not a gaffer lover.
Jeez. He's even got his arm around the little nigger.
That's
a gaffer lover to me.
I'm going fishing. Brent, get your rod.
Look, Pa, a starfish.
That's nice, Natasha.
Pa, I've got one.
Hey, bring him through the rocks there. Nice and slow, that's it.
James glances nervously at an approaching prison party.
Give me that rod. Come here. Natasha, come here, girl.
Stay there.
What about my fish?
Never mind your fish.
Come.
Get down, bro.
James hides with the children behind rocks as the prisoners and their guards pass.
Right. Go back now. Come on. Okay?
They emerge from their hiding place.
What about my fish?
I'm sorry, boy, but if those waters had seen you, I'd be in big trouble.
Why?
Prisoners aren't allowed to see children.
Why not?
Because they're here for punishment. Okay.
Another day.
This is from Mutsadi's wife. We have decided to boycott the bus service as they have increased the fare by 80 cents.
Cut it out.
As the other guard, Vasilu, slices a line out of the letter with a knife, a messenger brings James an envelope. It contains a newspaper clipping with the headline, Mandela's wife arrested. James checks his watch, picks up the keys and leaves the office. He goes into Mandela's empty cell and places the clipping so it protrudes from the blanket on the floor.
Following, please collect your letters. Zulu, Makhlaba, Katrada, hurry up, do you think I've got all day? Mutsadi, Jonas Mutsadi, where's Mutsadi? The rest of you dismissed.
Mr. Gregory, I found this in my cell. According to regulations, no prisoner may be in possession of any newspaper or part thereof. Therefore, I am handing it over to you, the proper authority.
James takes the newspaper clipping from Mandela and puts it in his shirt pocket.
I am surprised that you did not look at the article, Mr. Gregory.
James swallows, nods apprehensively to another guard, and leaves. two teams scrum off in a rugby match. James seizes the ball and delivers a neat throw to a team member. Families cheer on the touchline. James gets possession again and skillfully weaves towards the posts to score. Gloria and the kids go wild. A teammate hugs James. The CO applauds along with his wife, Joyce.
He's really got something, eh, darling?
Very good.
Negative. For a postman, you play a damn good game of rugby.
Robin Island! Robin Island!
Joyce to Gloria at the barbecue.
I think it's time I had a word with Peter about James. His officer material's no question about it.
Oh, Joyce, I'll do your hair for free. For the rest of your life.
Then I'm definitely going to talk with Pete. You off to Cape Town for the weekend?
Yeah, my mum's been dying to see the kids. It's been ages.
Then I'm going to give you a little shopping list with a good mayonnaise at the top. I can't stand this prison issue stuff.
The low sun casts a shaft of sparkling light on the sea. On the ferry, James takes a photo of Gloria and the two kids, Brent and Natasha. They all smile happily. Next, they take a train journey. Gloria's mother is waiting when the train arrives at the station. The children run to greet her.
Oh, my darling.
These are for you. I found them on the beach.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Hi, Mom.
How was the ferry?
Oh, fine. The sea was flat for a change.
Oh, good.
I got you some fresh crayfish, Barbara.
Oh, they're my fish. They're alive. Oh, well, seeing as you didn't get seasick, we can go shopping.
Nelson Mandela? That's awful.
Yeah, it's a big responsibility. James gets to check their mail and monitors all their visits.
That's restricted information, Gloria.
For goodness sake, Mom's not going to tell anyone.
Gloria, come help me chew some salad stuff quickly.
I went outside with the kids. Come here.
As Gloria and her mother Barbara slip into a greengrocer's shop, James and the children stare as two police vehicles block the street. Officers with whips and truncheons pour out and randomly stop black people.
Hello, Stanford, where's your passport? Let me see your passport.
Here, don't.
What's going on, Pa?
They're checking for passes.
Who's your boss, huh?
Natasha gasps as police lay into a black woman and throw her into the back of a vehicle with barred windows. James looks on uncomfortably as others are brutally assaulted. A policeman chases a terrified woman holding a baby in a blanket. She's brought down and drops the baby.
Where's your boss? Can't just leave the baby here.
Shut up!
It's my
daughter's child.
It's all right.
Another black woman takes the child. James comforts Natasha. Later, he prepares a barbecue.
We should come talk to her.
He hands Gloria the tongs.
Another minute needs to be done, okay?
He takes a swig from the beer bottle in his hand before putting it on a table. He goes inside Barbara's house where Natasha, aged about 7, lies on the sofa with her doll. She looks pale and drawn. He sits beside her.
Looking better. Dinner's almost ready.
Why didn't you stop that policeman?
Because that's his job.
To take the mommy away from her baby?
No. But if the mommy doesn't have a pass, then she's not allowed to be there. So they have to rest her.
Do we have a pass?
Gloria joins them.
We don't need one.
Why not?
Because we're white.
But is that fair, Pa?
It's apartheid. It's the way we live, Natasha. Whites on one side, blacks on the other.
It's God's way, darling. Just like he doesn't put a sparrow with a swallow, or a goose with a duck, or a cow with a buck. It's just not natural. And we don't question God,
Natasha doesn't look convinced. Next, James is back at work on the island in the censor office. His subordinate, Vasilou, a fresh-faced younger man, sits at another table, cutting out lines of dialogue from letters. A messenger places a piece of paper on James's desk. His face clouds over. He picks up the phone.
Switchboard.
Pretoria 3901. You're done?
Gregory, a telegram just arrived from Mandela. I know. The boy smashed head-on into a bridge.
Was it?
What?
You know, is it an accident?
Of course. You'll tell him personally, won't you?
Yeah.
Let me know his reaction.
What's up?
Dara's oldest son was killed in a car crash.
Good riddance.
James stares harshly.
Do you have kids?
Vasilou sneers and goes back to his censoring. James gets up, holding the telegram. He arrives by bicycle at a quarry where prisoners are working with pickaxes. He props his bike against a shelter. The senior guard inside gets to his feet. James shows him the telegram.
Who the fuck is Madiba?
Madiba. It's Mendele's claim name.
Man. I tell him.
James crosses the quarry to where Mandela, wearing shorts, is loading sandstone into a wheelbarrow.
Mandela. Sorry.
Mandela reads the telegram.
Hey, what are you trying to do, man? Get back to work! Monika, can I have a word? What?
Regulation 16A, the Prison Act, states that if a prisoner loses a family member, they're entitled to 2 days of work on compassionate grounds.
Compassionate grounds?
Mandela's a lawyer. He knows these things. He don't want to lay charge against you, do you? I'll escort him back to his cell if you like.
Mandela, tall and thick-set, walks back to the cell block with James at his side. The black leader looks pained and dazed. Inside the block, James takes off Mandela's leg chains and handcuffs and gives them to another guard. James escorts the prisoner to his cell. Mandela walks in and stands with his back to the door, facing a window with bars. James locks the door of bars and then swings shut a steel door against the bars and locks that too. James strides along the corridor with his face impassive. At the family dinner, his expression remains the same. He listens to the radio, not touching his food.
Earlier today, South African forces intercepted a large group of SWAPO insurgents in southwest Africa, killing 12
Check
terrorists
some
and arresting five. There were no reports of casualties on the South African side. Dr. Christian Pop.
Your food's getting cold.
What if it was murder?
Not in front of the children.
He leaves the table.
James.
He smokes a cigarette outside, looking troubled. Putting a cardigan over her shoulders, Gloria joins him.
They'd never do such a thing.
I called the police in the Transkei. I spoke to the duty officer. The more questions I asked, the more he clammed up. Eventually, he hung up on me.
That doesn't mean
anything. Can I serve the jelly, Ma?
Go ahead, darling.
I was the one who told your dad that Tembi had a license, that he had a car.
You're doing your job. This country's at war, James. These people are savages. They don't want to share this country with us. They hate us. If they had their way, they'd drive every single white person into the sea. They'd leave us with nothing, not even the clothes on our back.
Yeah, I know.
Come and have pudding.
He takes a final deep drag on his tip cigarette, throws it to the ground and goes inside. Next, he lies beside Gloria in bed with his eyes open. He sees she is asleep and gets out of the bed in his vest and underpants. He crosses to the sitting room and lights up again. In the semi-darkness, he wearily puts a hand to his neck and sits on the sofa. He sees the photo album is still on the coffee table in front of him. He leafs through it until he comes to the photo of himself and his childhood friend, Bafana. Both he and the black boy hold two sticks. James's arm is around Bafana's shoulders, and the two of them are smiling innocently. James touches the photo gently with his finger. In a flashback, he sees himself and Bafana having a ritualistic fight with the sticks. They're in a rolling green meadow with mountains in the distance. James is forced to the ground, and the black boy places a stick against his throat. James stares up and says,
Undo yisile kulum jekelo.
A car approaches along a dusty track.
Bingum chigel kul kabela lo. Dakubuya ninzo kubona bafana india kutembisa.
The boys shake hands. Bafana hands James a present, a bracelet of animal fur. James puts it onto his wrist. The young James places his hand on his heart as they depart. He walks towards the car. Bafana heads towards a tiny tribal village of huts. The flashback ends. Now James is dressed in his sergeant's uniform in the house as dawn begins to break. He looks in affectionately on his sleeping children who share a bed. He pulls the covers over Natasha's shoulders. He regards the children thoughtfully. James rides his bike to the prison complex. His headlight pierces the grey dawn light. He stops at a stark red brick building housing cells and marches past the night warder along the corridor to Mandela's cell. He unlocks the steel door. Mandela is still standing with his back to the door, facing the barred window. James talks through the bars.
Molo, Madiba.
Molo, Mr. Gregory.
Ngilusizi ngoko, swaleka konyana wako.
Mandela partially turns, but doesn't face him.
Many times, I try to explain to my son why I was always away from home, that I fight for a better world for my people and my family. I am not sure he ever understood.
Mandela now faces him.
Where did you learn to speak isiXhosa, Mr. Gregory?
Ndikulele kufuphi nekhaya lakho.
And you understand, I need to bury my son.
No, they'll never allow it.
I am an honorable man. I give you my word, I will not try to escape.
It's not you, but your communist friends. What if they try to rescue you?
What communist friends are you referring to, Mr. Gregory?
All of the bloody African National Congress.
Obviously, you have not read the Freedom Charter.
I have.
You have not? It is a banned document. Why would a sergeant in the prison services get his hands on such a document?
Well, I know about it.
And you would know that all we want is equal rights for all. A world where people like you and I can live peacefully side by side. That is what I wanted for my child. Surely, you want the same for your children. I wish to be alone now.
Mandela turns his back and faces the window again. Sitting back at his desk, James looks uneasy and nervously flicks his ballpoint pen. He's alone in the office. He gets to his feet and crosses to the window. He looks out over the prison block and sees Mandela in the same position, staring from his cell window. Time passes. James pays another trip to Mandela's cell. Two black prisoners are on their knees scrubbing the corridor floor. Two metal bowls of mushy food are on the floor, along with a steel mug outside Mandela's cell.
Mitsadi, Mandela must eat.
When our leader is ready to eat, he will eat.
He told me his son was buried yesterday, that the boy's mother was at the funeral.
He returns to his office and hangs up his cap. Vosloo has arrived and is censoring letters at his desk. He briefly glances up as James moves to his desk.
Have you read the Freedom Charter?
What?
The Freedom Charter, have you read it?
Oh?
Do you know what it's about?
It's about, like, extermination of the whites. Stuff like that. Isn't it?
Ach, how much time now?
Can we go watch Province play against Natal on Saturday?
Maybe.
Yes.
I just need to quickly pop into Rulon Street Prison.
But my mum's got lunch waiting for us.
You go ahead, I'll be on the next train.
Back on the mainland again, James gets off a bus.
But Rulon Street is not... Go, kids, go.
Gloria ushers Natasha and Brent from their seats to get off at the next stop. With the children in tow, she attempts to follow James along a crowded street. Well ahead of her, he glances over his shoulder and trots up the steps into an elegant stone building.
Excuse me, I understand there's a section here containing banned literature.
Downstairs.
He goes down steps to an empty corridor and glances in both directions before hesitantly walking on towards a door. In an office, a middle-aged woman wearing thick specs appears from behind a storage shelf, carrying a bundle of folders.
Yes?
With the prison services, I'd like to take a look at the Freedom Charter.
Wait here.
She eyes him suspiciously before striding off. She reappears behind a stern-looking bearded man in uniform.
You got authorization?
What?
This is a restricted area. You need authorization to be here.
Sergeant Gregory. I'm a warder at Robben Island Prison.
His ID.
So? You need authorization from the security police if you want to look at banned material.
The two men lock eyes.
Listen here, Major Jordan of the Bureau of State Security personally instructed me to take a look at the Freedom Charter. Call him. It's Pretoria 39001.
Give him what he wants.
The security man hands back the ID with a sigh.
Sit there.
Looking nervous, James sits at a desk. Around him, rows of shelves are lined with books and files. The woman returns with a metal box, which he places on the desk.
You'll find it in there.
Thank you.
She walks off again. James half turns his head before opening the box. He takes out a pile of folders and leafs through them. He opens a file containing pamphlets. One is entitled Comrade, next to a raised black fist are the words Grow Our People's Resistance. He puts the pamphlets back and opens another folder. This one contains the Freedom Charter. The word banned is stamped in red in English and Afrikaans.
We, the people of South Africa, declare for all our country and the world to know that South Africa belongs to all who live in it, black and white. And that no government can justly claim authority unless it is based on the will of the people.
He sees Gloria and the kids heading towards him. He pockets the charter.
What are you doing here, James?
What are you doing here?
Now on a train.
I can't believe you did that. How can you lie to me?
Gloria, I'm working with them. I need to know how they tick.
Tell you how they tick, James. They tick like a time bomb. And then they blow up, boom!
Two police officers enter the carriage. James stares nervously as they approach. Gloria turns to Natasha. James pushes the page he stole further into his trouser pocket. One of the policemen makes eye contact with him.
Afternoon.
The officers walk on, peering at faces. As they disappear into the next carriage, Gloria's blue eyes are flashing anger at James, who sits opposite her.
Can you imagine what would happen if Pete found out about this? You could kiss your promotion goodbye, that's for sure.
Oh, please, ma'am, what promotion?
I promised Joyce I wouldn't say anything.
About what? Come on, Gloria, you can't keep a secret.
Pete put a recommendation into Pretoria that you be promoted to warrant officer. He even told Joyce, if you carry on the way you are, you'll be lieutenant at the end of the year.
Well, that's very nice.
What if you throw it all away by doing something stupid?
I'm not going to do anything stupid.
With the salary you get and the little I make, you can't even afford to buy the kids new school shoes.
Come on, Gloria.
He sits next to her.
Come on. It's not that bad, Gloria.
James, the prison service is all we've got. Of course, they even own the house we live in.
I'm not going to mess things up. Okay. Look at me, okay? Plumstead's up next. I don't want your mum seeing me like this.
Back at his office, Vosloo eats a sandwich and reads a magazine.
Hey, man. How was your weekend?
Good.
Did you go watch the problems match?
No, but they nailed them good, eh?
James removes a bicycle clip and crosses to a window overlooking the exercise yard, passing a clock that says 5 to 8. The prisoners are being marched in a circle.
Schlack, bastards! Move it! Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up!
Postal will arrive by now.
Not with the southeaster blowing. That ferry will be an hour late, at least.
Gotta check anyway.
Looking disgruntled, Vosloo follows his instructions and leaves to check. James pours a hot drink from his flask. James closes the door and takes a tin from his pocket. He removes from it the animal fur bracelet given to him by his black childhood friend. Underneath is the stolen page from the Freedom Charter. He sits at his desk and studies it.
The national wealth of our country, the heritage of South Africans, shall be restored to the people. The mineral wealth, the bank's industry, shall be transferred.
He quickly folds it up again and places it back in the tin. He puts the tin in his tunic pocket and nonchalantly drinks from his cup.
The ferry hasn't even left Cape Town Harbour.
Must be bloody rough out there.
I can say that again.
Smoking a cigarette and looking edgy, James is in the exercise yard. He puts out the cigarette and walks beside Mandela.
Mandela, I have a question for you. You claim the ANC is not communist. But the Freedom Charter says that the mineral wealth, the banks, and industry should be transferred to the people. That is communism, and don't try to bullshit me otherwise.
It is not. It is, in fact, true nationalism. Where all the people, white, black, colored, Indian, all benefit from the accumulated wealth of the land. Our land and your land, Mr. Gregory.
These are ideals you kill for.
These are ideals I would die for.
There's no justification for murder and you know it. You people should never have taken up arms against us.
White people were deaf to our pleas, blind to our suffering. You left us no choice but to take up arms.
Sergeant! Sir! What are you doing cavorting with a prisoner?
I was just telling Mandela his lawyer's coming on Monday for a consultation, sir.
Get your ass up here!
On my way, sir!
He strides into the CO's office and salutes.
Raise your arms.
Sir.
Raise your bloody arm, Sergeant!
As he does so, the CO, with a granite face, helps another officer to strip him of his sergeant's stripes. The CO, Colonel Barnard, presses an insignia into James's palm.
Congratulations, warrant officer. I'll see you in the clubhouse.
Thank you, sir.
He's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow. Yes,
sir, all
of us. That May's promotion not go to his head and cause us a lot of heartache. Cheers, sir.
Officer Gregory, may I have the pleasure of dancing with you?
Gloria, looking sexy in a tight dress, her auburn hair hanging loose, gives James a mock salute and leads him away to dance.
Didn't I say this would happen?
Short dead book.
They kiss as they twirl. Another day, and warrant officer James Gregory is back at the censorship office. He stares suspiciously at a postcard that's arrived for a prisoner and runs his fingers over it. With a razor blade, he splices the postcard open and carefully pulls it apart, first with tweezers and then with his hands. A folded letter is sandwiched inside. He folds open the letter and reads it. Vosloo stops typing and stares over from his desk. James looks concerned and exchanges a glance with him.
What are you going to do about it?
James picks up the phone.
Switchboard?
Doria 39001.
You're done?
I've got a postcard here for Jonas Motsadi.
Saudi? He's need you for release next week.
Yes. There's a message written inside it, in Xhosa.
Now, what does it say?
Susie must go to an ANC safe house in Gaborone.
And from there, they receive instructions.
Is that an address?
36 Morocco Street, Gaborone, Botswana.
Put the message back just how you found it, and make sure that Jonas Motsadi gets his little postcard.
Sometime later, with the radio on, James is at home playing chess with Brent. Included in the team are such esteemed
players as Bob Willis, Tony What's your queen?
And Trevor Chappell. In the early hours of this morning, the South African Defence Force launched a preemptive strike on a known ANC safe house in Gaborone, Botswana, killing four terrorists. One of the men, Jonas Motsadi, was recently released from Robben Island Prison, where he was serving 5 years
That's
for sabotage.
That's Robben Island.
The weather forecast
for
Western Cape tomorrow is cloudy with occasional fog patches, clearing later with moderate to fresh westerly winds, bringing...
Now he stands on the terrace smoking a cigarette and looking deep in thought. Daytime, prisoners prepare food. One furtively passes something to another. As the food is dished up in the yard, a package is passed on to Mandela, who nods. Next, James and Mandela walk together.
Are you sure my wife is on the ferry?
I'll go ahead.
It will be Christmas soon.
Our kids are already counting the days.
How are they doing in school here?
My son struggles a bit, but my daughter is sharp as nails.
You must encourage them to do well in school so they can go to university and make something of their lives.
University is expensive, man. But you bloody people think it should be free, compulsory, universal, and equal for all children, isn't it?
That is a direct quote from the Freedom Charter. I am most impressed, Mr. Gregory. Mr. Gregory. Tinithith Nero, Ungandath Pneda, Uniki, Nwini, Asisopos for Christmas.
I soup, Commander. Uyakudi Ngoko.
Your chocolate in Jen.
Your chocolate, who you from Manapi?
I am answering Zilonto.
The Kuvalela, Wedwa Ngoko.
Imi Yaka, Mibini, Dinge Kogaya, Pupi, Opum the Bako.
Ipi.
Mandela drops something. James picks it up. Next, a guard escorts Winnie Mandela from the ferry. James waits on the jetty.
I'll escort Mrs. Mandela from you.
My orders are to
the... I'm in charge of visits on this island, and you will remain on this bloody ferry until it leaves.
The guard hangs back. James escorts Winnie. She and her husband talk on the phone through the glass.
Hello, madam.
English only.
Please, Mrs. Mandela, you have very little time. Don't waste it.
Mr. Gregory is right.
James escorts Winnie from the prison block. He hands her a tissue to wipe her tears. She discovers something in the tissue and glances at him.
From Nelson. He says it's your Christmas present.
She places the tissue in her handbag.
Have a safe journey, Mrs. Mandela.
As Winnie boards the ferry, Major Jordan looms.
Warrant officer. Recognize this.
He holds papers.
That's Governor Mbeki's writer.
It's intercepted by security branch at Soweto Post Office. Since we're not prisoners allowed to discuss other prisoners in their letters.
I would never have allowed this through. Fosli must have missed it.
You're in charge of the censor office, not Fosli. Make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yes, sir.
The major throws his cigarette down.
Nice work with Jonas Motsadi.
Thank you, sir.
At his desk, James pours a drink from his flask.
And Officer Gregory?
Gregory, get your ass over here!
I'm on my way, sir.
James knocks on the CO's door.
Enter! What is the meaning of this? Says here they sat under a tree, ate bread and cheese, and finished it up with a dessert of chocolate.
You know, the media, they always exaggerate.
Are you telling me there's some truth in this?
Mandela gave me a little chocolate to give to Winnie. That's all that happened, sir.
A little chocolate?
That was a Christmas present.
Are you completely mad? We are trying to demoralize this terrorist, trying to isolate him from his family. And here you are playing Santa Claus. How do you know there wasn't a message in that chocolate?
I checked it before I gave it to her.
And if it had been poisoned?
Nelson would never do such a thing.
Since when was he Nelson? Next thing you'll be wiping his fucking ass.
I apologize, sir. It was my mistake.
Let me tell you how you are going to pay for this. For the next 4 months, you will spend every off weekend doing night duty in B section. Are you happy with this? Or would you rather I stripped you of your rank, warrant officer?
I'm happy with night duty, sir.
Get out of here!
James salutes. The CO wipes his brow.
Yes?
As James arrives home on his bike, the CO's wife, Joyce, pulls up in a Land Rover. She gets out looking wild and angry.
James Gregory, you swine! Do you know what trouble you've caused?
Sorry?
They should be transferring you off the island, not us.
What's going on?
Pretoria just called. They told Pitt to pack his bags. They're transferring us to Barberton. Do you know how hot it is in Barberton?
I don't understand.
They said that Pitt is running a holiday camp here instead of a prison. And all because of you, James Gregory!
Joyce! Don't shout like that at James. If you've got something to say, come inside.
Oh, I will not step foot inside that house. After everything we've done for you.
Gloria sees neighbours looking on. She turns to James.
What on earth was that all about?
I gave Winnie Mandela a chocolate from
James.
Us. I don't know what all the fuss is about.
Forget about you making lieutenant now.
Maybe there are more important things to think about than making lieutenant.
He focuses on the onlookers.
Do you have a home to go to, Sonny?
My name is Thunder. And you will remember my name until the day you die. And most of you bastards joined the prison service because you were too cowardly to join the police or the army. The army that is right now defending our borders against the communist masses trying to infiltrate our beloved fatherland. And the police who are fighting in the townships so that your wives and mothers and daughters and sisters can sleep safely in their beds at night and not get raped by fucking gaffers while you sit comfortably on your asses on Paradise fucking Island. Well, that all changes as from today. Because this island is now my island. And the war will be fought on my island the same way that it is fought against SWAPO on the borders and the ANC and the BAC in the townships. Your enemy is behind these walls. And you are at war with them. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Is that fucking clear?
Yes, sir!
As the new CO finishes his address, a line of prisoners are frog-marched. One is whipped.
Welcome to hell, you heathen bastards!
We're freedom fighters! We're not heathens!
Thank you, Porky. I don't want that animal bleeding in my prison. Chain him to the flagpole so he remembers forever what flag flies above this land.
The prisoner is tied to the flagpole. James is in a line of guards standing to attention before the new CO. He looks on uncomfortably. Later, he's at his desk censoring prisoners' letters. He strains to listen to noises. He crosses to the window. Outside, in pouring rain, naked prisoners are being lined up facing the wall of the exercise yard. One is reluctant to strip. His clothes are being pulled off him. Grim-faced, James looks over to Vosloo.
Strip search.
Vosloo smiles gloatingly. Next, with the rain still pouring down, James rides his bike through the prison compound. He stops and grimaces in anger as he sees the prisoner tied to the flagpole has collapsed to his knees. A guard stands over him, gripping a truncheon. Later, out of uniform, James calls in at the club. Colleagues stare, and all but one moves away from the bar.
Beer, please. How are you doing, Danny?
Not bad.
Danny reads a newspaper as he smokes at the bar.
So they finally gonna let us have television, 20 years after the rest of the world. Suit yourself, Danny.
Yes. 2 triple brandies, please.
2 new arrivals eye up James.
Says him. You don't have a chocolate for me too, do you?
Very funny.
So tell us about Mandela. What does he write in those letters to his fat black bitch wife, huh?
Trying to have a quiet drink here.
Go on, Gregory. Tell us, man.
Fanny Kirk, do you have any idea why the prisoners call you Umbukane?
I don't speak Kaffir. So how would I know?
Let me tell you. It means one of those great big green flies that feasts on human shit.
Really?
Really.
So tell me, is it true what they say about Gloria, your wife? Huh?
What?
Then at night you take her up to the prison so your darky friends can snack on some white pussy.
James springs from his seat, throws beer in their faces and launches into them. One grabs James while the other pounds him with his fists. As James lies on the floor, both men aim a kick at him.
Fucking Kaffir lover.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough.
Danny pulls the men away and helps James to his feet.
Go home to Gloria, James.
His coat.
The barman hands over James's coat. James staggers off. Other colleagues just stare. Now he's heading home on his bike. Gloria is sitting in her nightdress waiting for him. Her eyes are tear-stained. She springs up from her chair.
Jesus, what happened to you?
Nothing. I fell off my back. It's the rain.
It's a mess.
James wearily sinks onto the sofa while Gloria goes into the kitchen.
Let's having a tea party tomorrow to welcome Colonel Stander's wife to the island.
That's very nice.
She hands him a damp cloth and sits in a chair facing him.
I haven't been invited.
She probably forgot to call you.
He puts his hand to his cut lip.
According to Anne, Lynette doesn't want Kaffir lover wives at the party.
Fuck them. All of them.
Don't speak like that.
What can I say?
Not Lord James. Even the officers' wives have stopped coming to have their hair done.
He stretches out his hand.
Sorry, Gloria.
She looks away with a hand to her mouth.
How could you let things get to this point, James?
I think if you met Mandela, you'd understand better.
She shifts uncomfortably in her chair.
I heard of a really nice small prison near East London called Fort Glamorgan. They say it's very pretty on the East Coast.
You want me put in for a transfer?
How would you feel about that?
I'd love to get off this island, the sooner the bloody better.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say that.
She moves to the sofa and hugs him.
And that's what you wanted to stay. So much for our island in the sun, eh?
Jordan and another man approach the island by helicopter.
You're a man on the inside. Does he know why we're coming?
Not yet. I keep him in the dark most of the time.
You think Mandela will go for it?
My opinion, no.
Why in God's name are we doing this?
Public relations.
The helicopter swoops low over the island. James walks along the corridor to Mandela's cell and unlocks the door. The helicopter lands in a sandy area away from the prison. Mandela grabs his jacket and leaves the cell, following James along the corridor. Now Mandela and James arrive at the helicopter, both sitting in the back of an open-top pickup. Armed soldiers look on. Mandela, in handcuffs, is escorted towards the helicopter by James and another guard. Jordan and the other passenger wait.
This is Mr. Kruger, Minister of Prisons.
So how are you enjoying living on this island, Mandela?
Our cells are damp. The food is not fit for human consumption. We are treated worse than common criminals. And you ask me, how am I enjoying it?
I have a proposition for you that could change all that.
What? One man, one vote, free and fair elections for all?
If you and the African National Congress agree to discontinue the armed struggle, you can leave this island. We will let you and your family go live in Transkei.
That I would rather remain here on this island.
Kruger exchanges a glance with Jordan.
Then you are more stupid than I even thought you were. We are finished here, Major.
Major, I put in for a transfer to Glamorgan, but it was turned down by someone in Pretoria.
Yeah, I turned it down.
Why?
You got a problem with the job here?
The school year only goes after standard 5. My son goes to high school next year.
Well, send him to boarding school.
I was at boarding school, and no son of mine will ever go to a boarding school.
We need you here, Gregory. These are difficult times. You must put your country first.
My family comes first. I put in another application. If it's rejected again, I'll resign.
You're going to throw away your pension? Don't be stupid, man.
I'm telling you now, I will resign.
Nobody wants an ex-prison warder. You resign, you'll be out on the street. Then where will your family be? You think about that.
James watches angrily as Major Jordan boards the helicopter. Then he rejoins Mandela in the back of the pickup truck. Two guards lock the tailgate. As the pickup drives back to the prison, James watches the helicopter soar into the sky in a cloud of sandy dust. Another day now, James arrives home on his bike. Gloria sits on the terrace next to a dressing table where her clients used to sit for hairdos.
Hey, darling.
He takes off his peak cap and hands Gloria a letter.
Rejected again.
Gloria glances at the letter before putting it on top of the dressing table. She sighs fretfully and takes James's hand.
We'll manage, James. You can stay at my mom. Find a job at a salon. Well, goodbye.
It's not just our future that worries me. Every time I switch on the radio, all I hear is another riot, another car bomb, another suspect who's been chucked out of the window by the police. Another landmine. This is the country our kids are growing up in, Gloria.
God help us.
James sees the CO.
Colonel, my letter of resignation. I'm giving you 2 weeks' notice.
I don't have a problem with this.
I didn't expect you to.
But Pretoria might have a problem with it.
Well, fuck Pretoria.
Gregory! Haven't you forgotten something?
What?
You salute an officer.
What are you gonna do? Fire me?
The muscles on the CEO's grizzled face twitch as James walks off. At the house, Gloria is packing. Major Jordan pulls up outside in a Land Rover. She watches through the window as he puts up his brolly. She opens the door.
Morning, Mrs. Gregory. Is James in?
Wait here.
He waits on the doorstep for James.
What are you doing here?
To be honest, I didn't think you'd call my bluff.
Really?
I've got an offer for you. Let's call it a compromise. We both want something from each other. You want to get off the island, and I want you to keep working with Mandela and them. You understand them, and you speak their language.
Get to the point.
I can arrange for all the mail from B section to be routed through Ruland Street Prison. You can do everything from there without ever setting foot on the island.
What about visits?
Forslew can handle them.
Accommodation?
It so happens that the prison service has a house standing vacant in Plumstead. Quite near to where your mother lives, Mrs. Gregory.
You've thought of everything.
This is a one-time offer. I want an answer now. Yes or no?
Give us a minute.
Jordan steps back to the Land Rover, leaving them alone on the steps.
What do you think?
I think you just want a major battle for the Gregory family.
James signals to Major Jordan that he accepts the job offer. The Major nods, smiles, and drives off. Gloria hugs James in relief. A caption says, April 1982. With a briefcase, James walks from a stark red brick prison. There's a strong presence of police and soldiers. An armored personnel carrier trundles past as James crosses the road.
Gregory!
It's Jordan, they shake hands.
You've been rather quiet lately?
There's been nothing to report.
What, they're finally behaving themselves? The time for a beer.
Glory be expecting me.
Come on, it's a quick one. So I believe your son's following in your footsteps, eh?
Not for long, eh? He just started his first year at university, filled through correspondence. Once he gets his degree, he'll be out of the prison services in a flash.
A water son at university, that's a turn up for the books, huh?
He's got Mandela to thank for that.
Make sure your children go to university, Mr. Gregory. South Africa needs well-educated young people. They will be our future leaders.
They're in a bar.
How is he?
He always asks after you. Yeah, he's getting on a bit, but then I suppose we all are.
What do you think of this Free Mandela campaign?
That's the least of our worries. Big problem is international sanctions. It's crippling us economically.
Yeah. You know, something's wrong. And petrol costs more than beer.
Why, do you think we should let him out?
You're mad. We're both in power. It'll never happen.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Well, thanks for the beer.
My pleasure.
I see you around, Major.
Now with a neat moustache, James leaves. Jordan, his hair turned grey, makes a phone call.
Okay. Yeah. I think we can trust Gregory.
You ready?
Yeah.
James checks his watch as he waits at the door of a hairdressing salon where Gloria works. She kisses goodbye to two of the staff and joins him.
How's your day?
Same. Yours?
Frank, you should be studying, not working on that stupid car.
Didn't I set to some plug spa?
Checking the shed for new ones.
They go into their house.
Oh, there's coffee.
Be right there. Hello?
Good morning, James. We need you at Baltimore tonight.
Tonight?
Yes, it's very important. Make sure to be there at 20.
I understand, Brigadier. I'll be there.
James puts the phone down and crosses into the kitchen. Natasha, now a young woman, dries pots.
Do I smell curry?
It's just a second curry.
How did the exam go?
Not bad.
Not bad or good?
Good.
Brent strolls in.
Like a G&T?
Yeah, just a little one. You can wash your hands before dinner.
The TV news is on.
Authorities believe that ANC terrorists were responsible for the blasts. According to the report, there were no casualties. Damage to the facility was superficial. And now for a look at tomorrow's weather.
That was Brigadier Moko. To report the pause about 2,000 hours.
What for?
He wouldn't say.
Is it Mandela?
Can't be. What if it's Bozma?
James pulls up at the gatehouse of a prison. A guard checks his ID.
Evening.
Turn left at the first road.
A bar lifts, and James drives in. He stops at a security entrance where other guards wait, one with a rifle. Inside, he exchanges salutes.
Captain, Gregory, follow me.
The captain escorts him up a set of wide stairs to an office where a brigadier sits behind a desk. James salutes him.
Evening, James. Sorry to spring this on you at such short notice, sir. This is General...
General Foster. Of the National Intelligence Service.
previously known as the Bureau of State Security. Things in this country seem to be changing so quickly, it almost astounds me.
I don't understand.
Tomorrow we'll be transferring you here to take charge of Mandela and four of his fellow prisoners. You'll be working with Brigadier Morkel, directly under my command.
Brigadier Morkel takes a call.
Yes. They have just passed through the main gate.
We're going to be easing up restrictions on visits, mail, study time, newspapers, the lot.
Sir, I have a home in Plumstead. My wife has a job there. My daughter's busy with a trick.
You have nothing to worry about, James. We have lots of accommodation for you here and your family. Everything's sorted.
Why me?
You were the only warden from Robben Island. They never laid a charge against.
Not that that's a recommendation in my book.
Outside, the door of a transit van slides open. A guard gets out, followed by a black prisoner in chains.
Go that way.
He passes James, who stands with the top brass. Four others get out, including Mandela, whose hair is now graying. They all look puzzled. Mandela spots James and stares at him curiously. James steps forward.
Lydia Tubenosen.
Kupi Apa, Mr. Gregory.
They're posing. Maximum security.
As James arrives home, Gloria is sitting on the sofa watching TV. A glass of white wine is on the coffee table in front of her.
You still up?
Yeah, villages is on.
What's happening? You want some tea?
I was going to ask you the same question.
Or would you prefer coffee?
James!
What?
What happened at Paulsmore?
Ach, you won't believe it.
Well, maybe if you tell me, I will.
They've moved Mandela and four of his comrades there.
She joins him in the kitchen.
I want tea, not coffee.
After 18 years on that bloody island.
So what did they need you there for?
He faces her a little apprehensively.
They want to transfer me.
Oh, not again. You've been in the bloody car 3 hours a day.
They want me on 24-hour notice at the prison. They've asked me to head up the Mandela detail. Brent will be in it. It'll be a whole new unit under my command.
You can't decide something like this without discussing it with me first.
They gave me no option.
Who's they?
General Forster, National Intelligence.
She sits down heavily with a cigarette.
What about Natasha? Did you think of her?
She can take the train. The train's a great place for her to study. Gives her lots of time.
Why did they move him?
Because they're scared. Can you imagine what would happen if he died on that island? There'd be a bloodbath.
He could easily die in Paulsmore.
Maybe they're ready to start negotiating.
Oh, don't be naive. Don't negotiate with terrorists.
What? You think this can go on? The country's going up in flames, man. They bombed Gulberg yesterday. Next thing, they'll blow up Parliament. Then they'll start blowing up the schools, the railway stations.
Oh, but you think it's all right for Natasha to catch the train every day? Jesus, James.
He sits with her and touches her arm.
Listen to me. These last 5 years have probably been the most boring of my life. I'll go to that little office in Rulin Street. And I open letters and I read them. Then I fold them, put them back and send them off. I need a change. These could be extraordinary times. I don't want to look back on my life and say I stood on the sidelines. This could be history in the making. And I want to be a part of it.
She studies his face and sighs.
A house with a garden.
A pickup truck parks outside the high wire of the Paulsmore prison. James and a sergeant get from the front seat. Brent, in uniform, jumps down from the back. The three of them stride down a corridor.
Chris, where does this lead?
It connects D section with E.
Secure it. I want it sealed off.
I'll see to it.
They march through a gate of bars and up some steps. They pass a single guard at another gate.
Was this man alone? From now on, we work in pairs. Two guards on each post.
Yes, sir.
A large, comfortable room.
Morning, gentlemen.
Mr. Gregory, we are still waiting for an explanation.
Well, I hear rumors.
Rumors? What rumors?
They say you had too much influence over the other prisoners on the island. This is my son, Brent. He'll be assisting me.
Brent nods respectfully to the five prisoners. James steps into a tiled exercise yard where three guards stand with guns. A mountain is in the distance.
All in order. Chris.
The sergeant steps towards him.
How far away is that mountain?
About 2 miles.
Is it state-owned or private?
I think it belongs to National Parks Board.
Find out.
Outside the prison complex, James pulls up at a block of brick-built flats. He waves to a colleague.
I said, Raymond.
Gripping his briefcase and thermos flask, he walks over a grassy area and climbs steps. A dressing table and other furniture is piled up on the balcony outside his small modern flat. He stares at it as he walks in. Gloria is putting things into boxes.
What's all this stuff doing outside?
I'm putting it in storage.
Are you going to cut hair without your table?
I've had a sign up outside for a week. And all one person's come. They go to the mall for that kind of thing. Besides, this place is too small. You can hardly move in here.
So roof over our heads, Gloria.
Oh, there's a roof. I can hear the people bonking next door.
Where's Natasha?
She's sick of spending half the day on the train. She's going to stay over at my mom and visit on weekends. Help me with the TV. I want it in the corner.
Wait, mind you back. Brent met Mandela for the first time this morning.
And?
Yeah, no, he said it was like meeting an old uncle.
Having moved the TV, he tries it out.
I've been deployed in Soweto to quell widespread violence and unrest sparked by demonstrators calling for the unconditional release of Nelson Mandela. A spokesperson for the South African police force said many arrests have been made and the situation had been brought under control.
Scenes of violence.
Switch it off.
He turns off the set. Two armed guards stand on the wall of the prison exercise yard as Mandela is on his knees planting tomato plants in boxes.
For your tomato plants.
Thank you, Mr. Gregory.
James and Brent deliver sticks.
And how are you, Brent?
I'm fine, Mr. Mandela.
It's good.
As James examines the green plants in one of the boxes, Mandela picks up a couple of sticks. He bangs them together. James and Brent watch him. Brent looks puzzled when his father picks up two sticks as well. James cracks his sticks together in a ritualistic challenge.
Tukula Nibone, Mr. Gregory.
James takes off his peak cap and hands it to Brent.
Zipuseleke, Nadu Lincoln, Yana.
Oh. Uteta Ninkunzi Apako.
Paul, what are you doing? Stand back, boy. You're clear.
They square up to each other with the sticks. As the stick fight begins, guards move in for a closer look. Mandela's four fellow prisoners appear.
Come on, water officer!
Weaving and ducking, the two men clash with the sticks. Mandela looks like he's enjoying himself and laughs. James fights skillfully, but is no match for the big black man, who gets in a whack to the back of James's legs and sends him down with a cry of pain. Brent stares intrigued. The other prisoners applaud. Mandela extends his arm to help James to his feet.
Seems you know more than just our language, Mr. Gregory.
Where'd you learn that, huh?
You should put some ice on it.
James limps off with a smile. Elsewhere, a car bomb explodes in a main street. James storms into the prisoner's room and slams newspapers on a table.
It's not right. Most of these people were civilians, ordinary people going about their daily business. That's it. Have a good look, man. Have a good look.
17 killed, 188 injured.
Yeah, man. In 1976, when the police opened fire on Soweto school children, how many were left dead in the streets? Thousands and thousands. Eh? And now you want to cry about 17 people?
Wait, you knew me in 76, Raymond. Did I celebrate the death of those children with the rest of the warders on Robben Island? Did I? I was horrified by it, horrified. This is also wrong.
You could stop this. You can put an end to this violence.
How?
Tell your people in Lusaka to end the armed struggle.
Mr. Gregory, do you honestly think that if we laid down arms today, the apartheid regime would cease their acts of violence against our people?
Man, it's a vicious circle.
I have waited 20 years for your people to come and talk to me about peace, but they are not interested in peace. They are only interested in power.
So are you.
When those in power deny your freedom, the only path to freedom is power.
The other prisoners nod in agreement. James marches off. Next, he arrives home and nods to Brent, who's making a sandwich. He grabs himself a beer.
Turn the TV, Pop. We're just giving a speech.
Where's your mom?
Oh, she took the car. She's got an interview at a new salon opening up in Cape Town. So she can't sit around waiting for her life to restart.
Good for her.
James switches on the TV.
My people who put pressure on South Africa from outside and from within. I stated in Parliament that if Mr. Mandela gives a commitment that he will not make himself guilty of planning.
This guy can talk a lot of shit, Hepa.
Committing acts of violence for the furtherance of political objectives, I will in principle be prepared to consider his release.
The choice is his. All that is required of him now is that he should unconditionally reject violence as a political instrument. This is, after all, a norm which is respected in all civilized countries of the world.
The presumption being that South Africa is civilized.
The prisoners listen on their radio.
Yeah, James. Let's just came from Pretoria.
Brigadier Morkel steps into James's office with a letter.
Would you believe it?
You know, I think it's just some public relations gesture.
Now James goes into the prisoner's room, where Mandela sits on his bed polishing his shoes. Mandela gets to his feet and walks over, holding his hands out to be cuffed.
Won't be necessary.
Mandela follows James out of the room.
Where are we going, Sir Gregory?
We're meeting your family in the room where you normally meet your lawyer.
I do not understand.
There'll be no more glass between you and your visitors.
I will be able to touch.
Yes.
Mr. Gregory, I've not touched my wife in 21 years.
You'll be fine, then.
James unlocks a door. Mandela hesitantly steps through. Two daughters, a grandchild and Winnie, wait inside the interview room. Winnie throws herself into his arms. They hug and they kiss. She buries her head in his shoulders. They sway together. Winnie turns to the girls. His eldest daughter, with tightly braided hair, passes the toddler to her sister and hugs Mandela. Tears roll down her cheeks. He cups her head in his hands, and she places her hands on top of his. She turns to pick up her son and hands the boy to his grandfather. With a pearly smile, Mandela proudly holds the toddler above his head, staring warmly into his face. James quietly slips out of the room and closes the door, looking emotional. Later, while Gloria does the ironing, they watch on the TV the daughter with tightly braided hair delivering a speech.
My father says, "What freedom am I being offered while the organization of the people remain burned? When I may be arrested on a past offense? What freedom am I being offered
as a family, with my dear wife who remains in banishment in Bramford. What freedom am I?
She speaks very well, huh?
When I must ask for permission. Not quite your regular terrorist, eh? What freedom am I being offered when I need a stamp on my pass to seek work? What freedom am I being offered when my very South African citizenship is not respected? Only free men can negotiate. Prisoners cannot enter into contracts. My father says, I cannot and will not give any undertaking at the time when you, the people, and I are not free. Your freedom and mine cannot be separated. I will return. Amandla!
Mandela and his fellow prisoners listen on their radio. They get to their feet and, with their right arms raised, they sing their anthem. As James arrives home, a prison guard is waiting for him.
Warrant Officer Gregory, my name is Groenewald. I'd like you to consider me for the Mandela detail.
I'll get personnel to send your file over.
My wife's nephew lost his legs in a Pretoria car bomb. It would be my pleasure to return this kindness to Mandela.
You must be joking.
I'm not joking. I promise you, I'm not joking.
The man with a gaunt face and pitted skin watches intently as James walks away to his family flat holding his briefcase and flask. James opens the door to find it secured by a chain.
Gloria!
James! Oh, James, where have you been?
We have to isolate Mandela from the others. What's wrong?
A man phoned. He said they were going to kill Brent and Natasha. He said we can't fill up and we're all going to die.
Oh, shh. Do you recognize his voice?
No, he said I was a fucking pigeon. He said I was dead.
Shh, it's all right. It's okay.
Oh, it's not okay, James! It's not okay. They want to kill my baby.
Look, nothing is going to happen to you or our family, okay?
James picks up the phone.
Brigadier Morkel, now. Brig, listen. Somebody phoned Gloria, threatened to kill her and the kids. I want 24-hour protection on my family or I'm off the job.
We'll take care.
Major?
Sir.
Gregory's making noises about resigning again.
Give him what he wants. Just keep him happy.
It's a joke. Guarding the guard who is guarding Mandela.
We've got bigger problems. The international community are crying for Mandela's release. They're putting more and more pressure on us.
Are we going to bend?
No. We're not going to give power to the blacks ever. Besides, imagine if a right-wing bullet takes him out. There'd be bloodshed like this country's never seen. No, we'll have to make it look like we're negotiating and give him access to his people.
Maybe if we moved him to someplace more comfortable, it would look better.
Like where?
The farm prison outside Paarl, Victor Verster. It's got mountains, vineyards. There's a farmhouse on the one side, which is isolated, secure.
Next, two Mercedes and a BMW, all with darkened windows, drive along a tree-lined track into the Victor Verster prison. Armed guards stand at an open gate as the vehicles sweep past a watchtower. The prison is set among pleasant greenery with mountains in the distance. James and his sergeant greet the men from the cars who wear business suits and carry briefcases.
Mr. Mandela's expecting you.
A caption says December 1988. James briefs the chef.
Mr. Maharaj is a vegetarian, so I'm not sure you'll appreciate that, ma'am.
Well, I've baked a quiche for him.
Don't serve wine to Mr. Ayub, he's a Muslim.
Christ, it's like the bloody United Nations in there.
The message from PW Botha is simple. It's power sharing or nothing at all.
We will not enter into any discussions unless all parties agree to the principle of free and fair elections.
Sorry to interrupt. Mulisha Tata Ikefu, my only funeral, Chris Okona.
Kulongile, Mr. Gregory.
Good day to you, gentlemen.
This country's full of surprises.
Later, James stands outside their new house, waiting for his family to arrive.
James, it's beautiful.
What did I tell you? Oh. Look at the mountains. Come, let me show you inside.
How's my girl?
This is so cool.
Bring in the suitcases, Brent. Wait.
What?
He picks Gloria up in his arms and takes her over the threshold of their attractive, spacious bungalow. Her auburn hair hangs loose.
Got a dishwasher, washing machine, spin dryer that works.
The kids have each got their own bedroom with study desks and... there's an extra TV in the main bedroom.
No.
You don't believe me? Go look for yourself. I promise you, we will not move from here unless you decide to.
She throws her arms round his neck.
Gloria, Gloria. You should be happy. This is a new beginning, a new start.
I'm happy. Thank you.
Brent walks in as they kiss.
Oh, geez, do you guys have to do that in front of us?
Now the family stroll together along a street of shops. James, in a blue blazer and grey flannels, furtively glances twice over his shoulder. A man in a dark suit appears to be following them.
Damn it, I left my smokes in the car. You go on, I'll catch you up in a minute.
It's typically
far. James turns and walks back. He passes the man, who is now idly looking at picture frames in a stand outside a shop. The man glances at James as he passes and then starts following again. James slips into an alley and takes a gun from a shoulder holster. As the man passes, he grabs him and points the gun to his neck.
Why are you following me?
Please don't shoot!
Who are you?
National Intelligence, top left, jacket pocket.
James goes into the pocket for the man's ID.
Why?
My orders are to look out for you and your family whenever you leave the prison.
James studies the man's clammy face and puts the gun away.
Till you're done, next time send a professional.
It's dusk. Brent's in a phone box.
Hi, Natasha, it's me.
Is Pa there?
No, he just left. How'd the exam go?
Oh, I cruised it, thanks to Mr. Mandela. Everything he covered in commercial law came up. It was amazing. No, you must tell Ma, eh?
No, I will. Brain drive care for you, okay?
I will. I'll see you later. Cheers, bye.
He hangs up on his pretty blonde sister and gets into the family's small blue Ford parked outside a public building. In a pickup truck, James drives into the prison grounds. Two guards open double gates and close them after his vehicle has gone through. Security is low-key. In a tastefully furnished sitting room, Mandela, his hair now white, is on the sofa asleep. A newspaper is on his knee. The curtains are open. James gives Mandela's leg a gentle shake and switches off the television.
Oh. What time is it?
Past 10.
I must have drifted off.
Shall I close up?
Please. Is your family happy with their new accommodation?
Extremely.
I saw on the television. The President Botha suffered a minor stroke. Do you know what hospital he's in?
I could find out.
I'd like to send him a bowl of fruit and a card.
Do you think he'd do the same for you?
That is not relevant.
I'll get Brent to find out.
How is the young man?
He finished his last exam. He should be driving back from Cape Town as we speak.
I am sure he will do very well. Good night, Mr. Gregory.
Good night, Madiba.
Wearing a loose cardigan, Mandela pads off.
This house is too big for one person. It needs a family. The sound of children.
James smiles. Next, an outside view of his family's detached bungalow. It's in darkness. James and Gloria are in bed. James pushes back the covers and sits up to pick up the bedside phone.
Yes.
This is Klapmuts Police Station. Are you Warrant Officer Gregory?
I just told you I am.
Well, your son is dead.
What? Listen, this is not time for sick jokes.
Was your son driving a Ford back from Cape Town this evening?
Yes.
Then he's dead. He was killed in a car crash.
He drops the phone.
What's wrong?
Rint is dead. He was killed in a car crash.
Now James arrives at the mortuary. Her body is on a trolley covered with a blue sheet. A white-coated attendant holding a clipboard pulls back the sheet. James stares at the face of his dead son. Tears prick his eyes. His facial muscles twitch. He attempts a nod to identify the body. Now mourners mingle at the house. The men in black ties, the women wearing black. Somberly, they stand drinking tea or coffee. Some finger food on plates they hold. James walks to the French windows as if in a daze. Gloria joins him outside and tries to comfort him as he sobs.
It's because of everything you have done, Gloria. It's because of Tebby Mandela, Oscar de Guidi, Charles Mozzavi, Denise and Meunier. I sent those men to their deaths and I got his baby back.
No, James, no.
I'm so sorry.
It's not your fault.
It is. I sent those men to their deaths. God, forgive me. Please forgive me.
You didn't know better, James. You didn't know better.
Forgive me. Please forgive me.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
James, now in his sitting room, stares into space. He sees through the window a prison pickup truck stop outside. He watches as his sergeant, Chris Britz, gets out and walks along the path. His eyes focus on a white envelope that's been pushed through the letterbox. James stubs out a cigarette in the ashtray and picks up the envelope. He turns a lamp on to read.
I was deeply shocked to hear of the tragic death of your beloved son, Brent. And on behalf of myself and my family, I send you our sincere sympathy. Few things are as painful as an invisible wound. But I hope you and your family will be comforted by the knowledge that Brent was loved and respected by almost all those who came in contact with him. Once again, our deepest condolences.
James, you've got a visitor.
Another day now, James sits on his garden bench. Brigadier Morkel arrives.
James. General Forster called on a number of occasions to offer his condolences, but you don't come to the phone. I tell you, James, if you don't go back to work, you will wither away.
James hands him a document.
The results of his final exams. He passed everything. 3 distinctions. First person in both our families to get a university degree.
The life goes on. It has to.
The brigadier rests the exam results on the bench.
You heard Buerta resigned. This new man, the clerk, he's cut from different cloth.
Ach, please, man. We've been hearing talk of change for years and nothing ever happens.
This man is different. He's a listener. He's going to want to meet Mandela face to face. And we're going to need you there, James, to set it up.
The brigadier gets up from a wicker chair on the terrace. James remains seated and doesn't face the senior officer as he leaves. Gloria picks up Brent's exam results and sits on the bench next to James.
Do you remember once telling me you didn't want to be on the sidelines? That you wanted to be part of history? We need to be strong, James. For each other. For Natasha. For whatever the future holds for us in this bloody country.
He tenderly puts his arm round her. Next, James drives to Mandela's spacious bungalow in the prison compound. Holding his flask and briefcase, he gets from the pickup truck and goes through the gate. As he sits at his desk in a little room inside, sorting through paperwork, the uniformed chef greets him.
It's nice to see you back again, sir. I've got tea on the stove, if you want.
I'm fine.
Mandela buzzes him. James goes through to the dining room where Mandela waits.
Come, my friend. Let us take a walk in the garden. Time will heal physical wounds. But time will not heal invisible wounds. Sometimes, even now, I think of Tembe. In some ways, I don't think I've ever stopped thinking about him.
Adina.
What is it, Mr. Gregory?
I told the security police that Tembe had alive since the other car. I told them. Because I heard Winnie telling you.
Do you honestly believe that the security police did not know that before you did?
There are other names, other people that are.
Mr. Gregory, we all have our jobs to do in this life. You cannot allow guilt or bitterness to cloud your way forward.
Mandela gently pats James on his shoulder.
Come, I have something for you to give to Gloria from me.
They stroll in the walled garden. Gloria is sewing as James arrives home carrying a blanket.
That was given to him by his mother. He says winter's coming, and you need to keep warm.
That's very kind of him. Can you believe that in all these years, I've never once laid eyes on him? I don't even know what he looks like.
Next, Winnie and other family members are with Mandela, exchanging presents by a Christmas tree. The chef brings in mince pies. At James's house, Natasha serves food.
Happy Christmas, Gloria.
Pictures of Brenda on the wall and on a sideboard.
I'm hoping you too. Please.
James grips his daughter's hand.
Make it toast, Pop.
To New South Africa.
Time passes. James arrives at Mandela's residence. Two Mercedes with darkened windows are parked outside. James nods to the two waiting drivers as he goes inside. Mandela stands before a bedroom mirror in a smart grey suit.
How do I look?
You cannot visit the president with a tie that looks like a hangman's noose, dear.
You appreciate it. It's been 20 years since I won a tie.
The two Mercedes glide along an empty road. In the distance, rugged mountains stretch up to a clear blue sky. A gate slides open and two soldiers watch as the cars enter the grounds of the presidential palace. The vehicles stop in front of an elegant white building set in landscape gardens. James opens the back door of one of the cars and Mandela steps out to be greeted on the steps by General Voster.
You're looking very elegant, Mr. Mandela.
Thank you.
Please follow me.
The president is waiting for you.
James and Sergeant Brits wait outside. Jordan strolls up steps from the garden.
Stay here, Chris. Why is it I'm not surprised to see you?
It's over.
Could have told you that long ago.
We're releasing him on Sunday. He'll be in charge of his personal safety until he walks out of the gates of Victor Verster. You've done a good job, Gregory. Well done.
James hesitantly shakes his hand.
Tell me the truth. Tell me his accident. Was it murder?
No, not even I know that.
Jordan walks away. Next, a Land Rover pulls up outside Mandela's residence. A caption says, February the 11th, 1990. A portly man in a brigadier's uniform gets out and is greeted inside the house by the uniformed chef who stands to attention.
Take a seat in the lounge, Brigadier. Mr. Mandela won't be long.
Is Warrant Officer Gregory here?
He's helping Mr. Mandela pack, sir.
He sits in the lounge where the TV is on.
Of movement. Over beyond, the higher trees, the helicopters, quite a number of helicopters circling above the Victor Verster prison. Excitement in the crowd, movement.
Good morning, Brigadier. People... What brings you out here?
I'm here to officially release you. Sonia.
Mandela is handed a folder. He glances at James, who stands behind him with two suitcases, and then he signs.
Mr. Mandela, I'm giving you a copy of this release form in case someone wants to arrest you for escaping.
Warrant Officer Gregory, your insignia. Take him off.
What?
Your insignia, off.
Looking puzzled, James strips away the insignia, denoting that he's a warrant officer. The brigadier slides two epaulets, each with a star, onto his shoulders. A half-smile forms on Mandela's lips.
Congratulations, Lieutenant Gregory.
Thank you, sir.
The brigadier picks up his briefcase and puts on his cap. James salutes him. The brigadier nods and leaves.
I guess I will now have to show you some respect.
It's a bit late for that, Nadiba. So how's he feel?
What?
Being a free man after 27 years.
It will take some time to sink in.
I understand. I wanted to give you something, but I couldn't think what.
James takes from his pocket the tin where he keeps the animal fur bracelet. He takes it out, leaving the Charter of Freedom folded inside.
This was given to me by a friend. The one who taught me to stick fight better than you.
Are you challenging me, Mr. Gregory? Because if you are, we can step outside.
No, no. That's protected me for many years.
He presses the bracelet into Mandela's palm and shakes his hand.
Hope it does the same for you.
Thank you, Mr. Gregory.
Outside, James opens the car door for him. Mandela nods a respectful goodbye as he gets into the vehicle. Winnie joins him on the back seat. A man gets in the front beside the driver. They drive away in a convoy. Television reports his long journey to freedom.
You join us at the Victor Verster prison where the excitement is running high. The helicopters circling above, the first cars coming out, and Mr. Nelson Mandela will, within seconds appear, and that'll be the moment the world has been waiting for. Mr. Mandela, who has grayed, a man who has been in prison for nearly 3 decades.
Back inside the house, James watches the screen.
Would be appearing in public for the first time any moment now. There's Mr. Mandela, Mr. Nelson Mandela, a free man taking his first steps into a new South Africa.
Among the crowd is Gloria. She shouts and waves to Mandela.
Mr. Mandela! Mr. Mandela!
He nods in Gloria's direction. Sitting on what used to be Mandela's sofa, James reopens his tin and takes out the page from the Freedom Charter.
Waving to the crowds, hand in hand.
There shall be peace and friendship. Let all who love their people and their country now say, as we say here, these freedoms we will fight for side by side throughout our lives until we have won our liberty.
That is the man who the world has been waiting to see, walking strongly, step by step, further into freedom.
Baba Vanga.
Leading his supporters, both black and white, Mandela stretches both arms upwards with clenched fists. A caption says, 4 years later, in 1994, Nelson Mandela became the first democratically elected president of South Africa. Lieutenant James Gregory passed away in 2003 after a long bout with cancer. His daughter Natasha has an honors degree in psychology. His wife Gloria is helping to bring up grandchildren in a new South Africa. The end.
Telling God. Ay, vas a usar la papel.